Picture this. Two couples buy lots in the same mountain development on the same day. One finishes their dream home on time and on budget. The other, 6 months late, 40% over budget, and a marriage nearly destroyed. What made the difference? Today, I'm sharing the complete tale of two homeowners, a story I've referenced throughout this podcast, but never told in full. By the end, you'll understand exactly why home construction planning isn't optional. It's everything. Let's dive in. Welcome to the Awakened Homeowner. Thinking about a new home or remodel, but feeling lost in a maze of decisions? You're in the right place. I'm William Reed, and for over three decades, I've coordinated the design and construction of hundreds of remodel and new home projects. I know the process can feel overwhelming, but trust me, you can do this. Here, we break it all down step by step so you can feel confident, empowered, and even excited about your project. No stress, no guesswork. Just the guidance you need to bring your dream home to life. Let's dive in. Welcome back to the Awakened Homeowner Podcast. I'm Bill Reed, your home building coach. And if you've been listening to this show for a while, you've heard me reference a story called The Tale of Two Homeowners, probably a dozen times. I've offered it as a free download. I've mentioned it when talking about the importance of planning. I've used Ben and Jane and the McMillans as examples of what to do and what not to do. But here's the thing. I've never actually told you the full story on the podcast. And after 29 episodes of teaching you about discovery and design professionals, the design process, consultants, permits, and construction documents, I realized something. Before we move forward into our next series about design limitations, you need to feel this story, not just hear about it, but really experience it. Because here's what I've learned in over 30 years of coordinating home construction. You can memorize every tip, download every checklist, and watch every YouTube video, but until you truly understand the consequences of skipping the planning phase, it's all just information. Information doesn't change behavior. Emotion does. Understanding the stakes does. Seeing yourself in someone else's story does. So today's episode is different. We're not doing our usual format with segments and teaching points and bullet lists. Today, I'm just going to tell you a story. I'm going to paint you a picture of two couples who started their home building journey on the exact same day in the exact same mountain development with similar dreams and similar budgets. One couple, the McMillans, became what I call awakened homeowners. They enlightened themselves with knowledge, empowered themselves with professional help, and protected themselves with proper planning. The other couple, Ben and Jane, well, they fell into every trap, made every mistake, and suffered every consequence that I've spent this entire podcast trying to help you avoid. Now, I've based this on real projects I've seen and heard about, real homeowners who have experienced the good and bad. I've combined elements from multiple projects, but I promise you everything you're about to hear has happened to real people. Some of you listening right now might even see yourself in Ben and Jane. If you do, that's okay. There's no judgment here. My goal isn't to shame anyone. It's to show you that there's a better way. And here's why I'm telling you this story now, as episode 30. Because we're about to dive into a whole new series about design limitations, setbacks, zoning ordinances, floor area ratios, all those regulations that can make or break your project. And I need you to understand why these things matter. Not just the technical details, but the human cost of ignoring them. The Tale of Two Homeowners is ultimately a story about the law of attraction. Not in some mystical sense, but in a very real, very painful way. The energy you bring to your project, the preparation you do up front, the respect you show the process, it all comes back to you multiplied. So get comfortable. Pour yourself a cup of coffee or tea, and let me tell you about what happened on a beautiful summer evening when two couples discovered their perfect lots and how their paths diverged from that very first moment. A tale of two homeowners who took vastly different paths to their new homes. As the sun set in the west, Ben and Jane knew they had found it. It was the perfect lot high atop a ridge in a new mountain development. It was secluded and reached via a long driveway bordered by oak and pine trees. The view immediately tapped into their emotions. With their kids Nathan and Betsy playing with butterflies in the tall summer grass, everything just seemed right. Ben and Jane would do it. They'd purchase the lot and build their dream home. Across the ravine, two other people were walking along another lot. It was slightly lower in elevation, and the view could have been better. Determined to make sure they could secure the lot they loved, Ben and Jane hopped into their car and sped down the curving road to the developer's office. The road led them past the couple walking along their lot, and when they spotted them, they thought it would be courteous to hop out and introduce themselves to their new neighbors. Sure enough, the McMillans were equally excited about their prospective lot. Ben and Jane thought the four of them might wind up building an enduring friendship. But back to business. It was time to put the deposit down on the lot. Ben and Jane congratulated the McMillans as they hurried back to their car. Before they left, Ben noticed something strange. Two other people were walking to the far end of the McMillans lot while driving in stakes and taking pictures. Ben briefly wondered who they were, but then quickly returned to the excitement of the moment. The two people turned out to be the McMillans' architect and construction agent. They were previewing the lot to decide if it was a good site for the McMillans' new home. It wasn't. They ended up purchasing a lot nearby that had better access to utilities, was more level, and was just large enough to achieve their goals. Ben wouldn't know that until much later. This is where the paths split for the two couples. One was awakened, and the other was not. You get the drift. Fast forward 18 months. The rain was relentless as Ben and Jane drove to their new home site for what seemed to be the 100th time. They looked sternly at one another as Jane mumbled, "There had better be something done." The beautiful view on the ridge had cost them a fortune just for the hillside foundation work and the storybook driveway. No one had told them that running underground utilities a mile would cost as much as their first house. Consequently, the kids had been relegated to going to junior college. "They had better get a damn scholarship," Jane exclaimed, more loudly this time. Stress and anguish had set in for her and Ben, just as they have for so many homeowners. Regardless, it was exciting to see the progress, or at least they thought it would be. As they pulled off the road onto their storybook driveway, the car abruptly stopped. It was stuck in the mud. Unbeknownst to the couple, their contractor had not included any road work in the plans. Fortunately, they came prepared with some rubber boots and umbrellas. They sloshed their way forward. As they rounded the last bend, their home came into sight. It was reminiscent of a horror film, dark and abandoned. There was nary a construction worker in sight. It was just a rain-soaked, windowless, gray house, discolored by exposure to rain. Frustrated, they reached for their cell phone to hunt down their contractor and architect, but just then it hit them that the workmen couldn't put the windows in because they didn't have them. It took much longer to get the windows than everyone had expected. Similarly, the roof wasn't on because Ben and Jane hadn't picked it out in time. As Ben and Jane dodged the raindrops, they remembered that their architect wanted extra money to help with more details on the plans and assistance with managing construction. Ben and Jane had decided to take it all on their own and even complete the interior design themselves so they could cut him loose. Even worse, they prayed that their contractor could figure everything else out on the fly. An absolute recipe for disaster that they could now taste with every raindrop. Thank goodness they had gotten three bids from contractors. Sure enough, they liked the least expensive guy, and the price was right. It had seemed like a match made in heaven until it quickly dissipated. Turned out he was a one-man show who didn't know how to work a computer and had trouble with his cell phone. Ben and Jane worked their way over to the terrifying structure and climbed up a teetering plank to reach the cavernous hole that would be their front door someday. "Has the door been ordered?" Ben wondered aloud. Shoot, did we pick it out? Jane responded. Did anyone know the door's status? The plywood subfloor was drenched. It felt like an eternity since anyone had been there. Although Ben and Jane had no idea what the holdup was. They meandered around their dream that had turned into a nightmare, visualizing where their new spaces would be. It was still a little exciting, but definitely dampened, if you will. But the view, nothing could take their view away. Perched above the mountainside, they peered towards the west and noticed a glow going down the mountainside along the curving street. They both wondered what it was, and then they looked back at their view. It will all be okay, they said simultaneously. Then they laughed, and then they cried. The rain had subsided, and the sun had begun to reappear as they navigated along the small lake. Down the curving road they went for the 100th time. Things were wearing on them at this point. They had no one to turn to. But then they spotted that glow again. It was growing larger. It was a home. A completed home. They slowed to a crawl and extended their necks out the car windows like nosy ostriches. There they were, the McMillans framed by their new windows, clinking two wine glasses together as they celebrated their housewarming. What? Both couples had purchased their lots at the same time. How was it possible that the McMillans had already moved in? We may need an exorcism performed before we can get into our house this decade, Ben nearly shouted. It's not fair, Jane half yelled, and the stress exploded. To be continued. While this is a composite story and not a biographical one, people are surely screaming their lungs out right now. Or maybe you are, or hopefully you want to avoid the infamous terror by learning before you leap. There's so much more to this story. Perhaps I feel a novel coming on. But for now, let's dive in and learn how to be awakened homeowners like the McMillans. This is our mission together. Remember Ben and Jane and their horror story? Remember the McMillans and their storybook project coming to life? I couldn't help myself. I wanted to know what had caused such a contrasting experience. So I dug into what had happened, and what I learned was so very revealing. It turned out that the McMillans had been living several hundred miles away from the new lot and had only tackled a kitchen remodel in their previous home. They had some bad experiences, so when they decided to build a new home, they decided to hire an owner's agent who could help with the construction. They also hired an architect at the same time. Guess who those two guys were huddled at the corner of the lot as Ben and Jane drove off? Yep, the owner's agent and the architect. That potential lot had multiple rock outcroppings that would have had to have been blasted away to accommodate the home. And who knows what else was lurking below the surface. Their team called all of this to their attention, causing the McMillans to purchase a different lot. In other words, they abided by all three guiding principles. Check. Meanwhile, Ben and Jane fell prey to the excited salesperson who worked for the developer who built the lots. They purchased the lot the same day without first getting any professional input. The consequences were multifold, but mainly related to the cost of the foundation, utilities, delays, and the overall design. Building on a steep hillside with a miraculous view can add anywhere from 30 to 50% to the cost of the foundation, not to mention the complexity of the remaining structure. Utilities are always a concern. That long driveway forced a 100-yard-long excavation, adding tens of thousands of dollars to the cost. To top it off, Ben and Jane had never done any remodeling before. But since they were already all in on the project, there was no turning back, even though the price substantially exceeded their budget. Before this discovery, Ben and Jane had skipped some critical steps and had begun searching for an architect. At the same time, the McMillans took a more systematic approach by working on their investment goals, budgets, and dreams. The McMillans already had their architect. Ben and Jane found theirs online. His name was Bob the Gatekeeper. Does that ring a bell? His cost was very reasonable, but getting him to the site to begin the design was hard. Instead of showing up in person, he gruffly proclaimed, "Just send me some pictures of the lot and I'll get started." So that's what Ben and Jane did. Bob didn't visit the site until the plans were completed, or at least completed in his eyes. With a big roll of plans tucked under Ben's arms, Bob exclaimed, "Let's get a permit and get this project started." At that, Jane yelled, "Whoopee!" and cheered everyone on. Never did Bob ask about their budget or if they had a contractor. By now, the McMillans had completed their wish list, built their idea books, and had an excellent idea of the look, feel, and layout of their proposed home. They had their first design meeting with their architect, Stu the Outfitter, at the site, where they all stood on their bare ground, waving their hands around and visualizing their ideas. Stu was armed with a site survey previously authorized by the McMillans that helped them site the house and minimize the utility work. After their on-site meeting, Stu excused himself and retreated to his studio to conceptualize their new home. Back at Horror Central, it was getting worse, but Ben and Jane didn't know it. The permit was issued, so Bob the gatekeeper told them, "We're ready to break ground." A celebration exploded, but one small detail had gone unaddressed. Who's going to break ground? Calls to contractors went unreturned, and the ones who did arrive to review their project disappeared off the face of the earth. I suspect the plans scared them off. Bob finally lets the cat out of the bag and says that he knows a guy. We'll call him Jack. Jack is a contractor, but has never built an entire home. He has his name on the side of his truck and has been in business a long time. Plus, Bob knows him. Or does he? The handoff occurs. Jack yanks the plans out of Ben's hand and says, "I'll get back to you with a price." He never asks for material specifications or what to include or not to include. Weeks go by with no sign of Jack. While crickets are chirping on Ben and Jane's empty lot, the McMillans are progressing with their design on their lot. Stu shows up equipped with a laptop and accompanied by an assistant who's also an interior designer. Stu then proceeds to blow the McMillans away with 3D renderings of their home as it would sit on the site. "After reviewing your wish lists and idea books, let me tell you how I've achieved almost everything you've desired," Stu humbly says. He nailed it. Decisions are made on the spot. High above, looking down, Ben and Jane noticed the group of people walking around while passing a laptop with the 3D drawings on it back and forth. With a grin, Jane says, "Wow, they're still designing. We're way ahead of them. We have our permit." Ben agrees, pumping his fist in the air. Little did they know, a day of reckoning would come. Back to the pleasantries of the McMillans' life, Stu decides to reward the McMillans by announcing, "Since I feel like you've done your homework, I thought I would introduce you to Mary, our local interior designer." Mary continues to zoom in on the 3D plans she and Stu had collaborated on behind the scenes to further confirm that the team had nailed it. As a result, they quickly move into the second step of design development, hire the necessary consultants, and pin down a multitude of decisions. Decisions that Ben and Jane didn't even know they needed to make. It's been a month. Finally, Jack resurfaces, apologizes that he went fishing in Idaho, and proceeds to share his personal problems with whomever will listen. Leaning against his 1980s-era truck, Jack pulls out a handful of papers with numbers on them and hands one to Ben. "It has a big number on it," while exclaiming, "Boy, this one is for the record books." Ben and Jane gulp. It's almost double what they wanted to spend. And Bob the gatekeeper is nowhere to be found. How can that be? Well, did anyone ask him to show up? Did anyone tell him about the meeting? I doubt it. To rein the project back in, the home must be redesigned and scaled back. Bob magically reappears. Unfortunately, there's only one place to site the house, so the foundation and the utilities are what they are. With the engineering completed and their permits in hand, Ben and Jane have no choice but to pay again. The small bell jingles as the McMillans enter Mary's quaint interior design studio in the rustic small town nearby. As the door slowly closes, a vehicle races by outside. Inside it, Ben and Jane are screaming at each other. The McMillans turn their attention back to Mary, who's prepared with multiple potential ensembles of materials for the entire home. Within hours, all materials are specified and written up in a specification sheet Mary has developed. Mary divulges, "Once we're wrapped up, Stu wants to meet with you and your agent Bill to discuss the project." The McMillans nod happily. They meet up, discuss options, and proceed with doing a cost study. Stu announces, "Design development is wrapping up, and as soon as we know the final scope, I can begin the construction documents and get ready for permits." The McMillans are elated and wait for Bill to crunch the numbers. Selecting all of the materials and Stu completing the design development step takes 3 or 4 months. This gives Ben and Jane time to catch up. Bob spews out a revised plan, proclaiming, "It's closer to your budget." How he knew what their budget actually was, Ben and Jane have no idea. Regardless, they take his word and send the plan back to the HOA, planning department, and building department for a new permit. Thank goodness, Bob knows them all and gets the approval ramrodded through. Jack, the contractor, returns and somehow has revised a price in a week. That's scary. Ben and Jane accept his bid, don't read his contract, and sign off. The job starts on Monday. Dirt begins to pile up as the foundation gets started. Down below, the McMillans are walking their lot, looking up and wondering how the other couple have gotten started so fast. The day of reckoning is still lurking. The big cost analysis meeting is held with the entire group around a table. Stu and Mary are prepared with the plans. Bill whips out his laptop and papers and is flanked by a new person on the team, a general contractor whom Bill has worked with many times and is one of the candidates he has filtered out for the McMillans. A detailed spreadsheet presents various options for the McMillans to choose from. The budget is close to their expectations because Stu prioritized said budget and collaborated with Bill behind the scenes to ensure that he was on track. Long story short, everyone agrees on what to remove from the scope and they negotiate the price. Over the next 2 months, Stu completes the construction documents while Bill works with the McMillans and the GC to finalize the cost, contract, and administrative items. Soon enough, the plans are ready to submit for the permit. The McMillans can now relax, sit back, and watch their home take shape. Well, it's not quite that easy, but I'm sure you get the gist. Months have passed while the McMillans are completing their plans. During a site visit with the contractor, they all three glance up at Horror Hill, only to see the same mounds of dirt still piled high. They look at each other, shrug their shoulders, and continue their pre-construction meeting. The salmon season was on. Jack had to head out for a few weeks. But really, that didn't matter because he had hit boulders that needed to be blasted apart. Come to find out, Bob the gatekeeper never did a soil report. Somehow that got through the permitting process. Ben and Jane get their first change order before anything has even been built. The law of attraction is a real thing. They eventually narrow the gap between their original bid and their revised bid. I could go on and on with this story. It has hundreds of positive and negative consequences for each path each couple took. This story is close to real-life examples of what people go through. Even though Ben and Jane started their project before the McMillans did, they finished it over 6 months later. They were over budget by 40% and compromised on just about every finished decision. Their kids had to pay their own way through school. In contrast, the McMillans' home was completed within 2 weeks of the original schedule. Their budget increased by 10%, but only because they added back one of the options they had taken out earlier. Believe it or not, the McMillans spent less on design than Ben and Jane did. It doesn't take somebody with an MBA to figure out that designing a home once and not twice costs less. I'll let you decide who the awakened homeowner is. Now, you might be wondering why I chose to tell you this story now as episode 30. Why not earlier? Why not later? Here's why. We're about to dive into a whole new series about design limitations. We're going to be talking about setbacks, floor area ratios, zoning ordinances, easements, height restrictions, all these regulations that can feel like obstacles to your dream home. And I need you to understand that these aren't arbitrary rules meant to frustrate you. These are the very things that the McMillans team checked before they bought their lot. These are the issues that caused Ben and Jane so much pain because they ignored them. When we discuss property lines and setbacks in the next episode, I want you to remember those rock outcroppings that the McMillan's architect and owner's agents discovered. That's what checking design limitations looks like in real life. When we talk about utility access and site development, I want you to remember that mile-long utility run that cost Ben and Jane as much as their first house. When we discuss the value of geotechnical soil reports, I want you to remember Jack hitting boulders and having to blast them because Bob never ordered a soil study. Every episode moving forward, every concept we discuss, every limitation we explore, they all tie back to this story. They all tie back to the fundamental principle that planning prevents pain. The tale of two homeowners is more than just a story. It's a roadmap. It's a warning. It's proof that the Awaken Homeowner methodology works. And it's proof that skipping steps has real consequences. Thanks for tuning into the Awaken Homeowner. Remember, you've got the power to take control of your project from day one. If you're ready to dive deeper, grab the Awaken Homeowner book on Amazon. It's your roadmap to success. Join our community at theawakenhomeowner.com and download our free story, The Tale of Two Homeowners. And here's something exciting. I'm developing an app called BuildQuest that's going to revolutionize how you plan and manage your project. Visit buildquest.co to become a founding member and test drive the app when it launches. Follow us on social media and hit that subscribe button. All the links are in the show notes and bio. Got questions? I'd love to hear from you. This is Bill Reed. You got this.